So you've been, you cover tech. And so you cover tech from anything from surely Teslas to kids apps. What are you seeing? When we look at from the 35,000 foot, what are you seeing as a trend over the last, say, year and a half that's interesting, that's really sort of making you excited? Anything?
I think, yeah, lots, I think. I mean, in terms of children and technology, just everything about it, that children are using screens to do amazing stuff. So I try and write about the creative, the positive side of it, rather than the kids using screens and not playing outside, it's dreadful stuff, which is an issue that's talked about, but it's kind of overblown, I think. Kids are playing on all kinds of ways and screens are one of them. So there's a lot of that, I think, and everyone's figuring out. It's so completely new that no one could have predicted 5 years ago that children would go loopy for Minecraft and what they do with it, how they'd learn with it. And so this thing has come up, this new form of entertainment has come up, and suddenly they're watching YouTube videos of Minecraft as well. So I love that idea of new forms of media or new forms of entertainment emerging because of some of these new platforms we have. And that's a lot of things. I write about sort of kids and Minecraft and YouTube. I write about Spotify and streaming music, kind of new twists on established entertainment or media that have come up. So that's very exciting. I mean, I know things like robots and virtual reality and all these, it feels like a time when a lot of the sci-fi I would read as a teenager, it's kind of happening. And we're finally looking at going, well, what is virtual reality for really though? And what are we going to use robots for? And what are the issues around robots? And so a lot of these things that were fiction are now fact, which sounds like a soundbite, but it's meant to be. So that's fascinating. And a lot of I think the other thing zooming right up is that there's so many juicy ethical issues around technology at the moment, from privacy to kids and privacy through to artificial intelligence and people, very smart people going, we're a bit worried about artificial intelligence, we need to start making sure it's not going to destroy us. So I think there's a lot of really interesting things to get your teeth into technology, rather than just here's a shiny new gadget or here's a thing. I think there's a lot for someone writing about it or following the space. It's just very exciting to be trying to work out this stuff.
I'm totally in agreement with you about VR. I think if anybody who was following what was going on at Google a week and a half ago saw and wandered around that building, they would see these little pockets of different troops within the big Google umbrella that are doing really some very interesting things with VR. So you think, how do you think it can be incorporated into kids' stuff?
Well, it's weird because there's a technical thing of it. If you put a virtual reality headset on a kid, how is that good for them? Like Nintendo had the 3DS and 3D screens and suddenly everyone thought, no, it's not good for a child. So there is that element of, do you really want to put a headset on a child? And I do worry a bit about VR and kids in terms of it's desocializing because you put a headset on and you're immersed in it. It's not something where you're playing, for example, it's not kids playing Skylanders on TV together and shouting at each other. It's solo immersive play. But it's almost a curveball stuff. I mean, I went to a conference and I was a bit cynical about VR and thinking, well, you know, the games look a bit ropey. Then I saw someone talk about using it for post-traumatic stress disorder in soldiers with a simulation that puts them on the street with things raining down overhead and buildings on fire. And they said it's like the most important thing they've seen in this their field of medical science. So that there's that stuff going on that is not really kids, but it is that figuring out what it's really for. I don't think it's for a lot of the sci-fi fanatics, what was the film? The Lawnmower Man. Where we're thinking, what are we going to use this for? We're not sure. Whereas now it's like, actually, it could be good for science. It could be good for treating anxiety. It could be good for gaming and filmmaking, actually. This is why I'm rambling. But I talked to a guy called Chris Milk, who's a filmmaker. Do you know of him?
I know his work, yeah.
And he's doing VR films, and he was saying he thinks it could be the most immersive next step for filmmaking.
Have you seen his film with the train and the lake?
Yes, yeah.
The one that ends with the baby and the hound.
Yeah. And
it's not unreal.
And he filmed a demo, a demonstration in New York, the Millions March, I think it was, I interviewed him, he was saying, like, you can basically, in VR, you're standing there in front of this person who's preaching fire and brimstone sort of art, I think. And you can be right up in front of him, whereas in the real life, you'd be kind of about 20 yards back going, I don't trust, it's a bit weird. And he was saying that this idea of putting you in the heart of the action. So there's a lot of things making me think okay, VR is really interesting. How can it put you somewhere where you're not? And for kids, I mean, no one's really talked much about kids in VR, but there's, if people start thinking about that, what does it do? What can it do that we can't do? What situation can it put your children into that wouldn't be safe maybe in the real world, but that would be interesting? You obviously wouldn't put them in a war zone or in the middle of a protest march, but you might put them in...
You might put them in a football game. You might put them in a World Cup match.
Yeah.
Put them on the sidelines or actually on the team.
Yeah.
I mean, there's things you can do with kids that, and it won't hurt them.
No, it's funny. I mean, this conference we've been at today has been really interesting because I think everyone I talk to and I've met them, we talk about our kids and we all go, yeah, we actually quite restrict their screen time. They get like a quarter of an hour every night. So all the people who are making stuff for kids are also very much focused on their children are going to go out and play and do physical reading. And it's kind of the most digital people actually are the ones who are the most keen to make sure their kids are getting a balance of play and learning, which I find quite interesting. Like no one here sits their kid in front of an iPad for hours on end.
No, I think they want them to be out there and doing things. You know, kids should still be falling out of trees.
I think so. Mine are very good. I got a video from my wife today, because I'm here in San Francisco, obviously I live in the UK. My son has learnt to ride a bike. The cheeky little man, he's like, he couldn't do it when I left. And he's learnt to ride a bike while I've been away, so I can't take any credit for it at all. But yeah, so I think...
How old is he?
He's six, so I've been neglecting him a bit. But I think... There's been a trend coming through today of like saying, actually, how are our kids playing and what should they be doing? And thinking about things like this, like what is the good it does them, or what's the kind of, and the good might be just playing. It doesn't have to be educational. But I've got a real sense of that. People saying, we're not going to start from what can I do with this wizzy technology? It's more what do the kids need to do and what do they want to do and how can we then further that? And so that applies to apps as well as VR, as well as any technology really.
How do you find... just for you, I mean, how do you find covering tech in the States and being based in London and having to constantly fly backwards and forwards?
It can be tough. I mean, on one hand, when you get known as someone who does cover this stuff, you get people come to say, you know, we'll do an interview with on the phone. And so you end up getting to cover things as they're breaking in the States. So you can do a lot with Skype and all these things. It is really good to be on the ground and meeting people. For example, today I've met a lot of people I haven't ever emailed before. It's just nice, you get to see the whites of their eyes and they can show you something on their phone. In terms of The Guardian, who I work for, they're actually ramping up in the States.
And they're getting very big.
Yes, and my boss, who is the head of technology, is actually moving over here to set up a San Francisco bureau to cover tech, which was announced last week. So you do need to be somewhere to do the best coverage of it. And you can do a certain amount if you become the person in the UK who's interested in talking to Silicon Valley companies early. There's a kind of emotion, and they want to be covered elsewhere in the world. They don't want to be just covered by their local publications. So yeah, but I do like getting over here. I'm not a happy flyer, so it's not as often I could. But when I do get here, I just try and bomb around and meet people and chat, and even just socially gossiping.
How long are you staying? Are you here for WWDC?
Yes, I'm here for a week. So I'm covering WWDC because my other job is covering digital music.
Right.
And obviously Apple might be announcing their new big...
Well, the Sony thing came out today.
Yes, saying it's going to happen. So a lot of it is I think so much journalism is gossip, or at least exchanging thoughts in a social setting that aren't just for you interviewing them on the phone. So someone will give you something, I heard this happened, or I think that's going to happen, or you should talk to them. So yeah, it's very valuable, I think, to be.
How did you get into writing about kids' stuff? Was it because when you finally had a kid, or was it something you were always interested in?
I got an iPad and a child of iPad age about the same time. So my oldest son is 8 now, so he was born in 2007. And then the iPad came in 2010, I think he was 3. So we got it, and I remember when it came out, everyone was saying, you wouldn't give that to a child, that hunk of metal that's cost loads of money. And it quickly emerged that actually you would. Your kids wanted to use it. And I just ended up writing about it because there wasn't really anything. There were a lot of American sites covering kids and tech, very good ones, like Ginny, who announced his conference. And there wasn't really much in Britain. So we sort of saw an opportunity to write about this stuff with jokes about toast and gin. And
yeah.
So I just got into it by accident because I had kids and I had technology. And then just I enjoy it. It's a really interesting space. And it's an important thing, I think, what our children do. And I think we think very seriously about what books they read and what TV shows they watch and the quality and things like that. And in apps, it was all a bit of a free-for-all and no one really knew how to find stuff. And weirdly, since then, Apple have got their kids category, Google have got a new thing. There are more ways that arguably make journalists less needed to sort through it. But I think it's always good to have someone, it's just good to have someone independent who's saying, I think this is good and here's why. And it doesn't have to be a journalist, it could be a blogger, it could be anyone. But yeah, so I sort of lucked into it and then it's been an interesting space.
Thank you. I think that will cover it.
That's okay, I was rambling awfully.
No, we're great.